News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Hope everybody is having an amazing Sunday so far. I am Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke. We're going to be talking all things garden. So if you've got a question about anything in your garden or yard, feel free to give us a call or send us a text. The number is 1-877-332-8255. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Brittany. How are you?
Pretty good. Okay, I've got to start off the show with this. Yep. Today is March 21st, 3/21, yep. And it is World Down Syndrome Day. So I just want to say a big happy World Down Syndrome Day to my son, Henry. He's 1.5, and he was born with Down Syndrome. And a happy World Down Syndrome Day to everyone else with Down Syndrome in Saskatchewan or everyone who loves someone who has Down Syndrome. So happy World Down Syndrome Day.
Absolutely. Yes. That's great to be recognized. Have that. Is it a day or is it a week or what is it, Brittany?
It's a day. There is Down Syndrome Awareness Week in October in Canada, but this is the worldwide day, 3/21.
Perfect.
Yep. Okay. Perfect. So this weather, it's a nice day for it, really. The sun is shining, but temperature-wise, we're not going to be getting anywhere near where we were the last couple of days. So with temps hitting, like, the mid-teens, was that just a total anomaly for this time of the month, Rick?
Well, there was a record that dropped in a lot of places in Saskatchewan. That was, I guess, from what I heard from the news, it was 100 years old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 100 years ago, there was temperatures like that again, a 16 in Saskatoon, and I think Regina, didn't it make it 21, I think, or something like that?
It was smoking hot.
Everybody's pent up. My brother opened up the new garden center for yesterday and today, and people had pent up ready. They were like an hour before the doors even opened. They were getting out in the parking lot all lined up to get into the greenhouse. So people are excited with this kind of weather. But I just want to talk about it really quickly, Brittany. There's also dangers to that. Just reminding people that, you know, especially all the ice fishing people, everybody going to go out in lakes or ponds or whatever else. I mean, yesterday I see a picture from my community of a truck that went through the ice at Blackstrap Lake. So so definitely, I mean, even though the ice is still about over just about 30 inches thick, it's soft. It's very soft. So that kind of weight, just be careful, stay off the ice and the ponds and everything else. And even in some of the communities, we have all these little reservoirs, and make sure you keep your kids aware that they shouldn't be going on those ponds anymore.
Yep, for sure. So with all of that heat and that sun melting the ice, it also melted a ton of the snow cover that we have. We actually got a text from Ken from Regina. He says, with almost all of the snow melted, how do I know when to start watering a new lawn? I don't want it to dry out.
Yeah, so down south, I heard that they're actually cultivating already. So,
oh my gosh!
If as long as you have temperatures where your manifolds and that kind of stuff aren't going to freeze.
Yeah.
If you got ways of turning water on and then turning off again so that you don't freeze your pipes, you can water anytime.
Awesome.
As long as the ground is basically has the frost is out of it, and in a lot of places in southern Saskatchewan, the frost is going to be out because they had. In other places, the frost is out because there was so much snow cover, you know, that early snow cover, that the frost never went into the ground that bad, you know. So, yes, no, as soon as you can put moisture to the plant, to the roots, and if not, you can even just, if it's an evergreen, you can spray the tops. That's leads to another question, just a topic, Brittany, is that I'm getting lots of phone calls of people saying, can I uncover my cedars, you know, the warm weather, and can I uncover my roses and perennials, take the mulch off of them? And the answer to that is absolutely not.
Yep.
Do not take your cover off, because right now, for evergreens, with this kind of temperatures, I know we're going to have lots of issues with browning this year. Because when you get Chinooks that warm, that just desiccates the plants and the roots are still frozen. So if the roots aren't frozen, absolutely, those evergreens, if you can stick a probe into the soil and it's not frozen, put some water to the, give those plants some water, absolutely. And, but also just, if you can, if you have some plants that you know you have issues with, shade them. Put some burlap on, even if you haven't yet, put some burlap on now. because that'll help protect them. And so you want to use burlap that's used for covering, because that burlap is a loose knit, so you can almost see through it if you hold it up. So it lets air through. I'm not trying to put a coat on. I'm just trying to keep the sun off of it, but I want the excess heat to escape the burlap. And so that's why it's important to do that. And and you talked about the snow disappearing.
Yeah.
That's what that is now. You're going to watch. There's two things happening, Brittany. One is that people are with the snow disappearing, they're noticing voles damage in their lawn.
Oh, the worst. We get voles every year out in Warman, and they drive me crazy.
Yeah, so I'm getting lots of calls right now, and so all you can do is just rake up all the little tunnels of grass, you know, and then once we get into May, you can just reseed, just throw some grass seed over top of those areas, they'll fill in very quickly again, and then put out some traps, just some snap traps with some peanut butter and a craisin or raisin on them, and put them inside a shoebox or something with holes in it so that the voles can get inside. But not the birds, because the birds they'll love that craisin, and they'll get trapped in the trap as well. So you don't want that. And also, I noticed Brittany is on the north side of everybody's houses. There's still big piles of snow.
Yes.
So what you want to do with those areas is you can start spreading that snow out, because otherwise, with the warm temperatures starting to come up now, and that snow is going to stick around for just a little bit longer, is that you're going to start getting snow mold.
Yes, and, we've got quite a few texts coming in about snow mold. It looks like a lot of people are dealing with that right now.
So spread your snow around, and the way you deal with snow mold is take a leaf rake and just rake it, just fluff up your grass, and that'll get air into it, and that'll make the snow mold disappear. There's no chemical you have to put on or anything else. Just rake it up lightly. Don't take a hard garden rake. Take a leaf rake.
Okay.
And just fluff up the grass, and you'll get air into the grass, the matted down grass, and that'll make the snow mold disappear.
Perfect. That's easy enough. So really, yard-wise, we just pretend that the warm weather never happened at this point. Just rake the snow as much as you can, get rid of that mold, and carry on, leave everything covered.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit with it now the snow's gone, too, and later on the show here, if we've got time, we'll talk a little bit about pruning the shrubs now they've all exposed themselves.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, we've got quite a few texts coming in on the text line.
Okay.
You can always give us a call as well, 1-877-332-8255. But right now, let's head to the text. We've got Donna in Asquith. I have a 4-year-old 4-foot Norfolk pine. I carry it outside into my bower, which is like a covered deck, you said, Rick?
Yeah, I think that's what it is a deck area that usually has an awning over top of it, or a pergola or something like that.
Okay, perfect. So she carries it outside into her bower every summer and bring it back in the fall. How often should it be transplanted into larger containers? I did it once a few years ago.
Yeah, probably every couple of years, go into one size larger. They like to be a bit root bound.
Okay.
So that's okay, but they can get over root bound because they're going to start growing, and then the roots are just going to basically choke themselves out.
Okay.
So basically what you can do to just check it is that just lay the plant over on its side and just wiggle the plant out of the pot. And then you'll see how tight the roots are there, okay? If they're starting to really spiral, then you want to transplant it, and you just want to, as you transplant it, just sort of tickle those roots out so they're not spiraling around, and then they'll grow nicely into the new soil.
Perfect. And then one other question. She's wondering if she should be fertilizing it. It does have new growth on the top.
Yeah, absolutely. Fertilizing during the wintertime once per month. And now we're coming into April. You can start going at least twice a month.
Okay, perfect. All right, we are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back to answer more of your questions. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyk, and you're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. That stint of warm weather that we had has clearly got a lot of people thinking about their garden, because tons of questions are pouring in. You can give us a call or send us a text, 1-877-332-8255. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyk. Now we're going to head out to Elrose and chat with Mark. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are things today?
Good. Yourself?
Not so bad at all.
Perfect.
I'm not interested in the garden. I'm interested in what's around the garden. This is a farm site out here. Trying to find a poplar tree or something like a poplar tree to put in the middle of a shelter belt, something that's got, I'm not sure what the technical term is, just basically grows one solid trunk up and doesn't throw out a whole bunch of branches off to the left and right. and something that doesn't have proper fuzz, if it would be possible.
Yeah, probably one that you want to put in is called Sundancer. Sundancer poplar.
Okay.
One of the narrowest ones.
Similar to a green ash in height and growing characteristics?
Yeah, still gets big, but not the same characters as green ash. Green ash is more out and spreading, okay?
Yeah.
Whereas the Sundancer just grows more upright and just smaller branches out to the side. You can Google it and see pictures of it, and you'll be able to see whether that's something that you like, you know. But that would be one that I would suggest is Sundancer. It's hardy. It doesn't put out fuzz, and it's one of the narrower poplars that you can put out there, other than putting a Swedish aspen or a tower poplar out there, right? You can do that, too. They're tower poplars, but they tend to sucker a lot. I don't like them for yards, but for a shelter belt, they'd be okay.
What was the second one?
Tower poplar.
Tower.
They grow very narrow, only about 3 feet wide, and straight up like an arrow. But they suck you like crazy. So
okay. All righty. Well, that'll give me something to work on.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Yeah.
All right. We've got a text from Rosanda and Esteban. We are looking for some 5-foot shrubs to plant along the foundation on the north side of the house. We're looking for shrubs that are deer resistant and attract hummingbirds and butterflies. Do you have any suggestions?
Okay. Now, she said, first of all, she said north side, right?
Yes, north side of the house.
Okay. So unless you get the morning and the night sun, you're not going to get a lot of flowers that will attract the hummingbirds and bees, okay?
Yep.
So you need full sun for most of the flowering plants. But if he wants to grow 5 feet high, which I've had plants do pretty good in those type of areas, is one called the three-lobed spirea.
Yep.
That will be okay. It grows about 5 feet high. In the spring, it has long arching branches that are just like a bridal wreath, like just covered with white flowers.
Yeah, we have two of those in our backyard, and we love them. They're so nice.
And there's ones that are different size. There's three lobes that are about 4 feet tall or so, and then you have bridal wreath or Van Houdie, which grows about 5 to 6 feet tall, and there's some shorter ones as well. So you can put that one there. North side of my house, I have some Myers lilacs. They're a dwarf Korean lilac, but they get the morning sun and the night sun, and they bloom like crazy, and tons of flowers and very fragrant, attract all kinds of insects. And so that would work very well in that spot, too. They're very tough, and they could, you know, do good in where you can water them, or they'll do very well where you don't water them very much. So that's two plants that probably I would put there that will do very well in that type of location.
Perfect. All right. Here's a text from Darren in Saskatoon. Hi, Rick. Could you comment on how well lodgepole pines would do in the Saskatoon area? Are they hardy enough? If so, what would they need to thrive in an acreage setting starting as seedlings?
Yeah, they'll do fine. The biggest thing you got to watch for lodgepole pine is seedlings, especially if you're talking about an acreage or not, is that the deer will eat them when they're small. So you have to put a fence around them to protect them. They like sandier soil. So, like, let's say if you're in this area that's more sandier soil, gravel, they'll do fine. If it's heavy clay, you'll have to acidify the soil. So you have to keep the pH down around 6.5 to 7, so you have to add some sulfur or some aluminum sulfate around the plants. And then make sure when you do plant them, just, you know, put some gravel in the bottom of the hole, give some good drainage and that kind of stuff. But otherwise, yeah, they'll grow here. So the lodgepole pines, yes.
Okay, perfect. All right, Bernice from Big River has a few questions for us. Our garden is about 20 by 24 feet. Last fall, I loosely spread about 10 kilograms of bone meal. I have about 20 assorted medium-sized bags of various soils to apply. So she's got like compost, sheep and steer manure, black earth, potting soil. Should I use any more bone meal or any blood meal or anything else? I want to do the alfalfa pellet thing too.
Yeah, it like sounds like she's got lots. Be careful, because if she's putting all those different things, don't put as much in the area where you're going to put potatoes.
Okay.
Just put a little bit in there, but the bone meal is good to add calcium. But if you're putting in also alfalfa pellets, that also is a good source of calcium as well. So she's doing all the right things. Bone meal, too much bone meal won't hurt the plants.
Okay.
So that's one thing that you can't go too far with.
Kate, perfect. Do you know about how many kilograms she should use for those dimensions, 20 by 24 feet?
20 by 24, if she used 10 kilograms, yeah. that'd be about right, especially okay. if she's doing it every year.
Kate, perfect. And then she's also wondering, could you explain the determinate/indeterminate tomato designations again?
Okay, determinate means determined, so it means that means that's only going to grow so high, so yeah. They're more like a bush tomato. Indeterminate means that there's no determined size, so they just keep growing like a vine, and as long as you have something to attach to or you can attach them to, they'll keep growing up and up until you pinch them off, otherwise they'll just keep growing.
Perfect. All right, here is a text from Diana. Good morning, Rick. I'm planning to add alfalfa pellets to my vegetable garden and perennial flower beds this spring. I already have a problem with visiting deer. Do you think by using alfalfa this will increase my issue with the deer?
It could if yeah. they find it. So the best thing to do is, if in that sort of case, if you want to make a tea, then you can water the plants with it, then you won't have that much of an issue, or if you rototill it into the garden beforehand.
Okay, perfect. All right, this is a text from Kelly from Regina asking about cherries, saskatoons, and hazelnuts. Will they grow in partial shade beneath an elm canopy?
The biggest part with the elm canopy, they will grow there. You may get a little bit less production. The biggest issue comes the cherries like to be under stress, okay? They'll produce way more. So what's going to give more stress is not the sunlight, but actually the competition with the root zone. Because as you start watering it and everything else, I mean, the roots for the elm tree are just going to go into that area and have competition.
Yeah.
So as long as you can keep the moisture in around that plant to sustain itself, it will still do well. But, I mean, the biggest issue is if it's too dense of a shade, you'll get less fruit production.
Okay. All right. This is from Martha in Martinsville. Good morning. I'd like to transplant my asparagus to a spot where they'll produce better. When can I move them, and where would be an ideal spot for this plant?
Yeah, put them in the sun. But transplanting time is as soon as the frost is out of the ground.
Yeah.
So if you're down in southern Saskatchewan and the frost is out of the ground right now, transplant them now.
Okay.
And take a bucket out there and water them in, and they'll be fine. So, but for most areas of the province, is more around the 15th of April.
Okay, perfect. All right, we are going to head out to Yorkton now on the phone line. We've got Tim. Good morning, Tim.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Rick was talking before about busting up the hard pan on a garden, and I'm wondering what exactly he's using, because I bought a tractor, and I'm able to go down deeper now to try and rough it up, but he was talking about maybe a cultivator, and I was thinking that if I drop a cultivator in there, then the shovels are going to bring up the clay, and I'm not sure that that's what I want, or maybe that's what he intends, I'm not sure.
Yeah, just you have to be careful that you just don't want to go down too far. You just want to break up that pan of years of rototilling at a certain depth, you know? And so you don't have to go very far. I mean, if you don't want to bring, cultivators can bring up, yes. In the fields, I didn't really care. I actually took the shovels off my plow and just used the shanks, and I used to rip it right up. I did that in the fall so that all the lumps would be broken up in the spring, right?
That's what I was thinking, buying something with either no shovel or a really tiny shovel.
Yep. Or what you do, take a cultivator.
The has to go, like with the garden tiller now, the tractor I have, I can drop it down about 8 inches. Are you thinking deeper than that?
Nope. You only need to go a couple inches deeper than what you've normally been going to break up that pan, okay? And you can even use your cultivator and take off the shovels and just use the shanks.
Okay.
Right, because then be careful, don't bury to the hilt, right? Just bury far enough so that you're only going down just a little bit deeper than what you've normally gone with your rototiller.
Okay, so I'm probably with this garden tractor now that I have, I'm probably deep enough without the cultivator, because it was always a hand tiller before, and now with this tractor, I raised the skids on it, and I sunk her so that I was banging people on the head on the other side of the planet.
Yeah, you can be fine.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. Have a great day.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Tim. All right, if you've got a question, you've still got time, get on the line, 1-877-332-8255. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. beautiful Sunday on the go, and we have got lots of questions pouring in. Right now we're going to head out to Moose Jaw and chat with Barb. Good morning, Barb.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I have a couple questions concerning houseplants. If I can move them out onto my balcony into a planter, and the balcony is facing north and east, and we screened in the north side last year, so it will be on the north side. And there, I have anthuriums, a large one, and two miniatures, ponytail palms, and a numerous amaryllis. Can I plant them out there, or put them in their pots into the planter, or what should I do?
You can plant them. You can just put the pots out there. You can do whatever you want. It's actually a perfect one where they're not going to be in the really, really hot part of the sun. Okay, the plants that you said, so that they'll get some light there, obviously, from the morning and the evening, because you said it's north, right? So
yes.
And so yeah, they'll do fine there. You just gotta, one thing you have to watch is that, you know, you have to change your watering habits out there, and you have to learn that by sticking your finger into the pot, just not by going on a schedule, okay?
Okay.
And then so you'll learn a different watering pattern, because so that's important. And then when you bring them in the fall, just make sure that you at least two or three weeks before you're going to bring them in, start spraying them with Endol, and then especially on the outer side of the leaves, to get rid of any insects that might have come into them when they've been outside, before you bring them back in again. And then you're going to bring them back in around the September long weekend.
Okay. I was wondering if it would benefit them any if I put them into those peat pots, like a bigger size for them to grow a bit, or would that help?
Absolutely. As long as you got a pot to transplant them back into, because they're going to grow into that bigger pot, right? But then you have to bring them indoors for the wintertime, right?
Yes. I put them into a decorative pot. I just usually set the clay pot inside a decorative pot. So
absolutely. That'd be perfect.
Okay. Very good. Awesome. I appreciate that. I have one more question, if it's all right.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. I have a neighbor who had an amaryllis this past winter, and when it finished blooming, there was a bulb-like apparatus grew on the flowering stem.
Yeah.
And it she left it there for quite a while, and then she took it off, and it turns out to be full of little, very, very thin disc, black discs.
Yeah, it could be a seed pod from them, okay?
That's what we wondered, yes.
So, but I mean, they do produce from the seed pod, but they also put bulblets on as well. So there's different ways of starting them. So she may have been just be able to get some seeds from there. And but whether they're viable seeds, that's depending on whether they got pollinated and whether they're going to actually be true to the variety of what the flower is, it may not be that.
Right. It would take quite some time to grow a bulb and have it produce, wouldn't it be?
Absolutely, and it would probably end up just being white.
Yes, okay, very good. Okay, thank you. Awesome. Thank you very, very much.
Perfect.
And welcome to spring.
Thanks so much, Barb. All right, now let's head to Regina. We've got Rose on the line. Good morning, Rose.
Good morning.
What's your question for Rick?
Well, I have lilac bushes that a few years ago we cut down into a hedge. And now I'd like to lower that hedge a little bit more, but when I start cutting it down, the leaves get all cut off and the branches are just left bare. Will they fill in?
Yeah, they'll fill in. The one thing you do is if you cut it down this time of the year, you're going to lose most of your flowers, right?
Uh-huh.
How much do you want to cut off?
Well, probably about a foot.
About a foot?
Mm-hmm.
So you could cut that off right now. If you wanted to, or you could wait, and if it's only a foot, I would suggest waiting until after they finish blooming.
Okay, and then I can still cut them off and they will fill back in again.
If it's only a foot, then start cut them off after they finish blooming, and then start fertilizing every 3 weeks until about July the 15th.
Okay.
And then quit fertilizing after that, and then you'll get lots of growth and then blooms on that new growth the next year.
Okay, thank you so much.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Rose. All right, now we've got Vern on the line in Saskatoon. Good morning, Vern.
Good morning. I would like to try and grow blueberries. My wife and I have been in discussion. I keep on nattering at her to try and do it, but she says the difficulty is there's nothing to cross. She can get buds, but she doesn't have anything to cross-pollinate them with. What can you tell me?
Just needs another variety of blueberry. So the ones that do well in Saskatchewan is the North Series, like North Country, North Sky, North Blue. There's a North Country. So there's a few of them, and also Patriot and Duke. They do well out here. So you just make sure you get another variety and to pollinate, and then also make sure that you're keeping the pH around 6.5 to 7. Otherwise, they won't pollinate. They won't produce very much either. So you need to acidify. Make sure the soil is acidified.
Awesome. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks so much, Vern. All right, we've got Calvin out in Watrous. Good morning, Calvin.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Pretty good. How about you?
Good, thank you.
Good. What's your question for Rick?
I've got our hedges in our yard, and obviously they haven't bloomed yet or anything. Could I cut them down now?
What type of hedge is it?
I'm not sure the brand. I do apologize. I'm not
okay.
sure.
Is it flowering or just stays green?
They stay green. No, they stay green.
Okay, yeah, you can. Now's the time you can prune them, absolutely. Yeah, prune them any way you want. It's probably a cotoneaster, or it's probably an alpine curve.
Yeah.
What's that?
They are a cotoneaster.
Yeah, so then now's a great time to prune cotoneaster, and you can prune them to any height you want. Just trim them back and then start fertilizing them in May, and they'll start growing like crazy, and you'll be trimming it this summer again.
Awesome. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. That's what I'm going to be doing to this afternoon.
Perfect. Awesome. Thanks so much, Calvin. All right. We have got tons of texts coming in, so we're going to blast through some of these. This is from Colleen in Moose Jaw. Can I trim my evergreens now before new growth happens?
Yeah, actually, now is a good time to prune the evergreens. The only evergreens I don't like pruning right now is pines because they're pushing sap right now, just like the maples and birches. So just leave the pines alone until the new candles come or until the summertime. But otherwise, your spruce trees, your junipers, all those ones, your cedars, you can prune them all right now, not a problem.
Okay, all right, here's a text from Lois in Saskatoon. Good morning, I have two questions. Number one, when planting my vegetables, can I put alfalfa pellets in the rows along with the seeds, or is it better to wait and water with an alfalfa tea once the plants are growing?
Nope, you can mix it in. You can mix it in with the rows of seeds. That's not a problem. You can do that as well.
Perfect. All right, number two. What variety of pink and blue hydrangeas would you recommend for our climate? I want a variety that grows only 2 to 3 feet in height, and she's in Saskatoon.
Okay, so there's some mini ones out right now that you could put out there. So pink ones is. And blue, you said, right?
Yeah, pink and blue.
There's no blue ones. There's ones called Endless Summer.
Okay.
But you need to mulch them every winter because they're semi-hardy. They're zone 4, okay? And pink ones, there's one called Invincible Spirit. That would be probably the hardiest. If you want a nice pink one, that would be the best one. It's called Invincible Spirit.
Okay, perfect. All right, now here's a text from Steven in Martinsville. I've got a question about an apple tree. It's pretty old. It has unreal-tasting apples, better than any you can buy. I've noticed over the last years, some of the bark seems to be peeling, and there are random dead branches. What should I do?
Yeah, keeping the dead branches off, trim them off, okay, because they And so you want to trim those off because they just invite the insects and other disease there.
Yeah.
Keep them always clean. Any branches that are crossing, you can prune them as well.
Okay.
And the bark peeling on the main trunk is normal. You'll see that a lot of times unless it's peeling right off and you're seeing the core wood. Then you might have some other issues happening. Then you might want to take some pictures into a garden center or send them to Rick at DutchGrowers.com and we can take a look at them. But normal, little bit of peeling on the bark is normal. But if, like I said, if it's peeling right off so you see the core wood inside, then you've got an issue.
Okay. And then Stephen is also wondering, when is the best time to prune the tree and how do I know what to prune off?
Yeah, right now, apple trees, fruit trees, now is the time to prune.
Oh,
especially with this weather, it's so beautiful to go out there and prune. And like any crossing branches, any branches that may have been hitting you in the eye as you're cutting the grass around them and trimming those off, and any suckers around the base of the plant, and just thinning the tree a little bit to get more light into the tree. You can start doing that anytime with your apples, plums, pears, apricots, all those ones, Saskatoons, all your fruit trees. March and the first week of April is the perfect time to prune all that.
Perfect. All right. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to answer more of these questions. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I am Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and we have got tons of questions still on the text line that we're going to get to. All right, here we go, Rick. Are you ready for a speed round?
Let's go.
All right, this one's from Marge in Regina. We plan to add cedar chips to our perennial beds. Is it beneficial to put landscape fabric down first? Also, should we add some corn gluten to the soil prior to doing this?
Yeah, corn gluten will help keep the weeds from germinating. Okay. Putting landscape fabric down, you can. I don't like it when I got plants because it basically, if you just put, instead of putting wood chips, put wood mulch around the perennials.
Okay.
And what I like doing is putting a pot over top of the perennial and then spreading the mulch at least 2 to 3 inches thick around there. That'll keep the weeds down, keep the moisture in, and as the bark breaks down, it will actually feed those perennials and they do awesome. Way better than if you put fabric down.
Oh, perfect. That's interesting. All right. Here's a text from Linda in Saskatoon. Hi, I've made a tea from alfalfa pellets. It's still not completely dissolved. Is it okay to mix it well and use the little solid bits that are still floating around?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, or what you can do too is you can just run it through a little a strainer cloth, you know, if you don't want all those little pellets on top of the soil, because sometimes if you leave them, they'll start, you know, getting a little mold on them and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so best thing to do is only mix enough is what you need, and you can learn that as you go. Then you can just mix a new batch up the night before you're going to fertilize each time.
Okay, and every time we talk about the tea, we get someone texting in asking how to make it. So do you want to just run through that quickly?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I wrote down some. So basically, you only need a couple tablespoons per liter of water, okay?
Yeah.
I always mix it in a 5-gallon pail, so I end up putting about 2 cups in a 5-gallon pail of water.
Yep.
And so when I'm doing the garden, so that's easy to do.
Perfect. All right. Here's the text from Matthew in Redverse. I would like to plant a few fruit trees in my yard, but my yard only has a couple of inches of topsoil, and then it's mostly clay under that. I was thinking of buying the trees a few feet tall, but I'm worried the clay is too thick for them. Should I just dig up some of the clay with an auger and replace it with better soil?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Dig your hole nice and wide, especially. More wide than deep, okay?
Yep.
And then so that the roots, like, they want to go more sideways and they do want to go deep. So then you want to have lots of good soil. Give them a nice big hole.
Okay, perfect. Okay, here's another clay-related question from Marlene in Saskatoon. My garden has a fair amount of clay. I know compost is good to add, but I have limited resources to get the amount that I need. What else can I add to improve the soil?
Yep, so what you can do, a couple things you put in there is gypsum.
Okay.
That'll help break up the soil. Put in any kind of other kind of compost. You can buy compost, or you can buy bags of what I've used is cedar mulch. And when I had a heavy clay soil in one of my gardens, I mixed in some cedar mulch, and I rototilled it into the garden, and it made it so that my garden didn't go hard anymore.
Okay, perfect. Okay, here's a text from Jean in Regina. I believe I have random plums in the backyard getting lots of sun. Is there a way to prune it to minimize the puckering? Is there a way to suckering, I think she meant. Is there a way to control the suckering, or is it just keeping the suckers trimmed with the lawnmower?
Yeah. Keeping the suckers trimmed. She has plum trees, right? So keeping them trimmed, if they're right against the trunk of the tree, you can trim them down. And then as they grow up, every week you can hit them with a product called Path Clear.
Okay.
And it's a herbicidal soap, basically. And then what you can do is spray them. It'll basically burn off the leaves. Because otherwise, if you prune them, everywhere you cut one branch, two will come up again.
Yeah, it's like gray hairs. You pull one, three more come.
Exactly. Where if you use the Path Clear, then what happens is that it actually burns it off, and it won't want to multiply in suckers.
Okay, perfect. All right, here is a text from Kurt from Beaver Creek. When is the best time to prune Saskatoon berry bushes and hazelnut bushes?
Yeah, both of those, Kurt, this time of the year, right now. Anytime from now until the 15th of April, like the 10th of April, now is the time you want to get out there and do the pruning.
Okay, and when it comes to pruning, this is from Trevor in PA. I have 10 to 12 foot Saskatoon bushes. I'm going to whack off 6 feet. How long until they'll produce berries again? We've got nothing in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, you will get some berries down lower, but what I suggest is give them a shot of fertilizer in the spring, and then get up some growth, and then you'll start getting some the next year after that.
Okay, perfect. Here's a question from Al. What mango trees can we grow here in Saskatchewan?
The mango trees you're only going to be able to grow in a pot and bring indoors for the summertime, for the wintertime.
Yep, absolutely.
That's the only way.
Yeah,
and then it doesn't matter what type you get because you're going to be bringing them in for the winter.
Yeah, you'll have to baby that thing to get it to produce anything here.
Yeah.
All right, here's a text from Monica in Saskatoon. I have a 2-year-old golden elder that has branches from the ground that are really long, and it's hard to cut grass close to the base. Can these branches be trimmed? If so, how much can I trim back?
You can trim them right to the ground if you want. They'll come right back again. You can trim them in half, a third, whatever you want. There's not a problem with the elders.
All right. We made it through all the texts other than the ones about snow mold. We've got about 50 texts, I swear, about snow mold this morning. Everybody's dealing with it with a quick melt. So what do we do with the snow mold in our yards, Rick?
No chemical needed. Just take a leaf rake. Or if you have to take a garden rake, don't press hard. Just really lightly. Just fluff up the grass, get some air in the grass, and then it'll disappear. And if you still got piles of snow, just spread the snow out so that it melts evenly, and then you won't have as much of a problem.
Yeah, see, you know, I bug Tyler to get out there and rake and move the snow around every year, and he tells me it's a waste of time, but I'm gonna replay this for him.
There you go.
We also did get a text from Rosa in Nipawin just asking if Garden Talk is aired later. It is aired later on in the afternoon, and it's also podcasted at cklm.com. So if anybody wants to hear older episodes from weeks past, you can always go to the website and you'll find them all up on the on-demand page on the site.
And I think it's on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we've got one last text. We have mature, over 40 years old evergreens in a shelter belt around the yard. What blend of fertilizer should I use to help them?
Yeah, if you're on a farm, use anything you use on your canola crop. An elemental sulfur is what they need, okay? So fertilizer with a sulfur base to it, that would work perfect. If you're just in an acreage or something like that, you can use one fertilizer that's made in Saskatchewan. It's called Groundskeeper. And it has a 17 sulfur in it. And they'll love that. So, just use that. Or, like I said, if you have access to farm fertilizer, you can use up to 100 pounds of N per acre on the big spruces.
Okay.
And so farmers will know what I mean by saying that once per year.
Perfect. All right. Have a great week, Rick.
Okay. Have you too.
I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyk, and you're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.